Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So last summer I was talking with Ralph Stayer, owner of Johnsonville, about what is the proper condiment. I'm like, what do you recommend, Ralph, that people put on a Johnsonville brat?
The best thing to put on a Johnsonville brat is your teeth.
Okay. See, I would have said kraut.
See, right.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Petrano.
Let's get it going on a Friday. Adam Roberts in for Eric this morning. And I want to get to a story. We haven't covered this just yet. Despite recent news that Americans are increasingly skeptical about this particular thing, the state of Wisconsin announcing a major investment in the technology. Two stories in the news this week that are colliding to create the question, is Wisconsin leading and being progressive, or are we dumping a whole lot of money into a technology that consumers will ultimately reject and wasting tens of millions of dollars? In the news today, Governor Tony Evers announcing with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation this federally funded program. So these aren't state dollars. They're a grant that the state is getting, from which the state is expected to receive $78 million over the next 5 years to build charging stations for electric vehicles all over Wisconsin. It's I got the particulars here, Adam. I think it's 53 stations
right.
to start.
53. They'll be spread across the state. I was talking with the DOT about this yesterday. Their Deputy Secretary, Christina Boardman, she told me we're expecting to construct these starting later this summer. There's a lot. There's 53 of them, and they're all over, so there might be a little bit of push into early next year as well. But yeah, there will be. There's plenty around Southeast Wisconsin. I think I only saw in this first batch one in Milwaukee proper. It's going to be on Port Washington Road, basically Glendale at that point. But they'll be around, and a lot of them will be at gas stations. Quick Trip comes up a lot. There seem to be a lot of these that'll be going there. You'll also see them at hotel parking lots as well. So that'll be rolling out later this summer.
And they didn't offer specific locations, right?
There is a list that's available.
They just described it in the news release as being built along Wisconsin's alternative fuel corridor.
Yeah, that one.
Reaching all corners of the state. So kind of all over.
Right? Yeah, I don't. When I think of corridor, I think of like a bike corridor is a strip of land in one spot. Not the corridor is Wisconsin.
So they also say there are 23,000 electric vehicles registered in our state, as well as travelers and visitors who will be served by these charging stations. 23,000 sounds like a lot. But let me give you the federal data showing cars, trucks, buses, motorcycles all combined here in Wisconsin. We have more than 5 million motor vehicles in the state. So the 23,000 is a fraction of a fraction. Nonetheless, it's an emerging technology. There are increasing numbers every year of these EVs on the road. So back to the earlier point, though, about how this is colliding with another story that we just had for you this week. If you listen to the show every day, you may recall this story from earlier. Nissan announced that it's slowing the expansion of its electric vehicle production and its lineup. We heard from Brian Moody, who is senior editor for Auto Trader, said resale value of electric vehicles is a concern for American consumers.
And that's probably going to cover the first two, maybe even the first three owners. The question is, what about after that? Hey, this car, the battery has been charged nicely. It's been treated well. You have 10 more years of life left in it. Without that, the resale value is not going to be great once they're outside of warranty.
So part of the cycle of vehicle ownership, of course, is if you, as opposed to leasing, if you buy a car, you want to get a lot for your trade-in whenever that is. A couple of methods to do that. You trade it in relatively new, and then you're kind of always in that new car, right? I'm on the last leg of both of the vehicles in our family fleet. Between the two of them, we're well over 300,000 miles. So
that's good, though.
We're hanging in there, right? Not having a car payment, I'll pay a little bit more to service the vehicles and keep them out there. But what he's saying, at some point, you expect to trade that vehicle in, and you want to get a lot for that trade. We don't know when it gets past owner two, owner three, long term, what is the life on these vehicles? And that's a concern to people, a barrier to entry into the electric vehicle market.
And we see this with emerging technologies all the time, especially in the earliest years. I have to imagine once this newfangled thing called the internet came out, it was, all right, but what is the long-term yes. outlook for this? Are we going to even be using this
going nowhere.
In 2024? Well, surprise. But yeah. To that end, like what is the long-term outlook of EVs? And we just don't know. There's a lot of elements you have to think about. Climate, you have to think about, like you mentioned, resale when you send it in. Are dealerships going to be as wanting to bring these back? There's a lot of stuff that has to be considered.
The other thing that's keeping people or is a barrier to this technology for a lot of folks is what Moody described as battery charge time anxiety. So people are worried about, okay, maybe I'm sold. Maybe I would like an EV, but how long does it take to charge the battery? The other anxieties, where do I charge my vehicle? You know, I just had to drive to the other side of the country. You know, I drove out to New York to pick up my daughter. Would have been great to save on the gas money and whatever, but there's no way I would have taken an EV on an extended trip like that because I'm sitting here thinking I would have to find these charging stations. How long does it take to charge up the vehicle? If it's going to add 4, 6, 8 hours to my round trip, that's a non-starter for me. So folks are unwilling to enter into this, even if they think like, hey, maybe I'd like an EV. They've been unwilling to enter in because they're worried about where to charge it.
And again, that
and how to charge it.
And that comes to us being very early in the game. You mentioned 23,000 in the pool of vehicles that are still in this country. The question will then become, okay, it's early, but with this early anxiety, do we want to continue investing in this? And to your point, I would hate to imagine making like, because we used to drive down to Florida every single year. You imagine just being stuck in Paducah, Kentucky, and trying to ask around, hey, you got an electric charging station
right
here? We don't have that newfangled technology.
And then waiting your turn, and then how long does it take? How do they do the chart? How do you pay for this?
That is
nothing
really
free, right?
Question.
Like that has to be a charge. I keep saying charge. There has to be a charge associated with the charge.
I wonder if it'll be like when you go. We have around Milwaukee. We have the new bus rapid transit stations where you can submit payment before the bus ever arrives. I wonder if it's kind of you've used your phone for everything. Can you just
sure
QR code it? You have your credit card on. Bing. Do it there. Potentially.
Here's the conundrum for me: is I want, if this is where things are going. And there are certainly a lot of state governments that are more aggressive in this. I think it's California that said they won't let you buy internal combustion engines by 2035. You can still drive your regular car, but they won't allow you to sell gasoline-powered vehicles in that state in 2035. Now, they could ultimately back off on that if it seems to not go that direction. But you see this want and desire among some folks to push us in that direction. If that's going to be the case, I would expect our state to get in on every dollar of federal funding that's available to be a leader, to help cure the anxiety over charging by having these charging stations. But then you get into the whole thing of what came first, the chicken or the egg? Are people not buying EVs because there aren't enough charging stations? Or should we not be putting charging stations out there because people aren't buying EVs? Ultimately, if the consumer isn't comfortable with it, if it doesn't take on a consumer level, then all of these tens of millions of dollars are going to waste for a very, very small segment of the driving public.
And that's the risk with capitalism. You have to cater to what the
dang
consumer
capitalism
demand
again
is.
Right.
When will we learn?
So I'm not sure what direction it's ultimately going to play out. You want to hedge your bet and be on the right side of it. But right now, consumers are still leery about those EVs. 8:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News. See what you did there? There's the whole other thing about the strain on the electric grid and whether or not we have the electricity generating capacity in this country to support all these vehicles going electric, which is a whole other conversation that we have had and will likely revisit on that issue of the electric cars. Wanted to squeeze this in here because I need to revisit it. We've gotten some interesting thoughts on the WTMJ talk and text line. Everybody's got their way that they prepare brats and how they decorate them up before they eat them.
You like brats?
Yeah,
yes.
Yes. So last summer I was talking with Ralph Stayer, owner of Johnsonville, about what is the proper condiment. I'm like, what do you recommend, Ralph, that people put on a Johnsonville brat?
The best thing to put on a Johnsonville brat is your teeth.
See, I would have said kraut.
Right. So anyway, you get these types of diplomatic answers when you talk to the sausage makers about, you know, how do you like your brat? And then also, how do you grill your brat? Interesting Wisconsin debate. I've always been a devotee of the, you know, you boil it ahead of time in the beer, the butter, and the onions, right? And you throw it on the grill, and then you just brown it over. Why I like that is I know it's fully cooked through, and then I just brown it over, and then it's ready to go. You take it hot off the grill, and there's that. But I know a lot of folks have said from time to time, hey, no, no, no. You're doing it backwards. You got to grill it first and then throw it in the beer bath.
Hmm. See, this is tricky for me because your brain is wired like the food goes on the grill. When it's done grilling, it's ready to eat.
Yes.
Hot off the grill. Here we go. So that seems counterintuitive.
You can do it without the bath entirely and just, you know, grill it all the way through. That's certainly an option as well. So I know somebody who works with Johnsonville, and I recently brought this up to her. And she also, very diplomatic in her answer. I'm like, okay, so what's the right way to do it? What do they say at Johnsonville is the right way? Great question. You can do either. It was like, no, we're just happy you're having Johnsonville brought. So we're not going to tell you how to do it. But if we were to tell you how to do it, she said, Johnsonville swears by the brat tub approach. You grill them first, then you let them simmer in a brat tub bath. And she said, I'm including that approach below. You can't go wrong either way, which she again added. So here's the brat tub bath recipe. 2 to 3 bottles of beer, a couple of teaspoons of butter, yellow or white onion, one large, all sliced up. Now, that's pretty basic. She also recommends throwing in a half a lemon, like you squeeze the lemon juice in there, and a few bay leaves. Hadn't heard that before.
That's a new one.
And a tablespoon of whole peppercorns. I'm thinking basically once you get past the beer, the butter, and the onion, whatever else you want to throw in there, that's kind of extras.
See, I feel if you did the first half of that step and then presented it to your party guests this holiday weekend, they would say, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever had.
So, yeah, exactly. So they recommend, you know, you do the foil pan. You can pick up those, like, foil pans at the grocery store, like in the baking area.
Yeah, they're a little flimsy, though, yes. So be mindful.
But you don't worry about if they get all toasted up on the bottom or anything like that. So get one of these going, and she says you got to melt the butter first, then throw in the onions and the bay leaves and the peppercorns or whatever else you got there, and then let that kind of marinate, not marinate, what am I looking for, brown over, you know, in the butter.
That's too technical for my liking.
Okay, so you do that first, and then you add the beer after that. Now, be careful, because the first time I tried this, I burned the onions. Like, it was really cooked.
That's bad.
Not good. So it was still fine, but, like, you don't want to do that. So then you add the beer later, and then just kind of get that simmering, and you throw everything else in there. So then you grill the brats, and then you throw them in the bath, if you will, and let them continue not only cooking through, but then also absorbing those other flavors.
Getting some thoughts coming in on the WTMJ talk and text
line. What do the people say, Adam?
From the 414, you grill and then, I believe they meant to say barbecue soak. So a grill and then a barbecue soak.
Okay, right.
From the 414, also, don't ever put it in a bath. The boiling liquid makes the natural hog casing too tough.
Interesting.
Now, I think that that's just kind of a byproduct of grilling anything, is that it hardens the outside skin, is it not?
So I'll reveal to you that I found the secondary method, the grill first, then put it in the beer, to be superior, mm-hmm. A better flavor. I've tried it twice. I was better the second time with my methodology, and I thought it was a little crisper, like just a little snappier and a little juicier. It's not bad the other way.
Right.
And I think it's a greater pain to grill first and then do the whole tin that sits on there and all that. But it was tastier, I promise.
We're doing the heavy lifting for you this morning because I know a lot of people already, and I know people who plan out for their Memorial Day or 4th of July cookouts days in advance, and you kind of have to if you're having people over. So we're doing the heavy lifting for you now, so you're ready this weekend.
Brats on the brain here in Wisconsin's Morning News.
Oh, please don't do that.
Charlie Murphy's cooking Johnsonville brats! Johnsonville brats!
Folks can't resist the simply great taste of Johnsonville brats.
Minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday morning.
So we got a lot of rain coming potentially to the area for the first part of your Memorial Day weekend, and it's not looking great. We'll have your WTMJ 5-day forecast coming up here in a few minutes. But if you are forced to stay inside at all during this holiday weekend, there is a new documentary coming out that you may want to check out if you are a fan of a certain 60s pop group.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beach Boys!
No need to go to the beach this Memorial Day weekend. The Beach Boys are coming to you. A new documentary about the legendary group starts streaming today, showing the rise, fall, and rise again of the brothers and cousins who magically harmonized. Founding member Mike Love tells me the doc sets the record straight on a few things.
Finally, the story is told from a broad enough perspective to where it honors everybody's contribution, not just, you know, Brian's a genius and Mike's the didn't like Pet Sounds or some kind of BS, because that's not true.
Brian being Brian Wilson, Mike's cousin, the Beach Boys is out today on Disney Plus. Disney's the parent company of ABC News. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
You're a Beach Boys fan. Are you like, is this good or no?
I was telling you in the break, the only thing they show you in the trailer, other than what we just heard, is they go to the California coast where they shot the first album cover for the 1963 debut.
Okay.
And they just find a lot of the memorabilia, and that's it. They don't really reveal a lot more of what's to come. And there's been a lot done with the Beach Boys over the last however many years. They're one of the most iconic bands in American history for a number of different reasons. So it does bring the question of, well, how much more can you say? Is this just going to be, you know, Mike Love airing dirty laundry? And then you throw to a cut of Brian Wilson saying, well, that's actually not true there, Jim. Here's how I see it. So I don't know, but I'm interested enough in the group that I definitely will check it out.
All right. Report back to us.
Oh, absolutely will.
8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. .846 on a Friday morning, Wisconsin's Morning News. Greg Pancake Hill is the producer of the program. He got that nickname Pancake because he used to work at the Pancake House on the South Side. After the show every day, we go upstairs, we talk about it. What'd you like? What did you not like? What should we be talking about the rest of the week? And, you know, some things make it into the show, some things don't. So on Fridays, we ask Pancake to whip up a little something with the leftovers. Here again on this Friday morning is the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
BTB. Bring that booty.
Alrighty.
Good start, yeah?
Yeah. Off and running.
All right, so this isn't a sports story, rather a marketing one with a little bit of politics. Remember back in 2021, Bucks are playing in the NBA Finals. They're on this awesome run, and that sportscaster Stephen A. Smith had this to say.
I really want to be in Milwaukee?
I don't believe I've ever rooted for Atlanta more in my life.
Yeah, we remember. Or
yeah, we do.
Even
yeah,
this?
This is a serious problem. Because if this keeps up, I might very well have to spend the month of June in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, I know, Stephen A. It could be so bad, right?
Hurts me.
Everyone we is listening and everyone here in Milwaukee will vehemently disagree. However, could we have done a better job about dressing up our city just a bit? I bring you to the Twin Cities, Minnesota, Minneapolis-St. Paul area, another Midwest town, city, kind of plagued with that sort of not sexiness, I guess.
Yeah, I got you.
You say, right? Like, that's, they're kind of plagued with that. But, and if you don't already know, the Timberwolves are in the NBA Western Conference Finals, which means, yes, people covering the game have to go to Minnesota. Now, before that series started, the interaction between star player Anthony Edwards and Charles Barkley from Inside the NBA happened, and it went like this.
Okay. I have not been to Minnesota in probably 20 years.
Bring your ass.
Yeah, right? An incredible response. It took off. There's t-shirts, there's hats, and one of the best parts, if you go to
bringyourass.com,
it links you to Explore Minnesota, their actual travel website. And if you scroll down on the website of Explore Minnesota, the first three words that greet you on that website,
bring your ass.
It's amazing.
He's saying what I think he's saying.
Oh, he's saying it. Why? Do you want to hear it again? What do you think he's saying?
Like, yeah.
Bring your ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it.
Bring it here to Minnesota because you got to cover us because we're playing. It's just so good. So there's a few lessons here. Yes, the Midwest gets a lot of flack. However, that's a catchy saying. I love it.
Bring your ass.
You know what I mean? Like, how about a little Minnesota politics? And this is just the best part. State proclamation issued by Minnesota Governor's Office that May 22nd was Wolves Back Day. That's the day they returned for Game 1 of the Western Conference Final, again, at Target Center in Minneapolis. If you've ever seen these government-issued documents, can you walk us through, Vinny, like what they look like?
This, that, and the other thing.
Exactly.
And whereas this, that, and this, that.
Kind of rhetoric
be
there.
Be here, resolve that.
Indeed. That's perfectly put. And that's exactly what this message said. Or that's what this proclamation said. It looked just like a normal one. However, if you read the first word in every sentence where it says whereas, then the paragraph, the first letter of each word spells out
bring your ass.
So, I mean, like, that's so good. You can't even be mad at a delivery like that. This is absolutely fantastic. So there you go. So if you're trying to figure out, hey, you know what? Maybe not hate on Milwaukee. Maybe not hate on Minnesota. I mean, yeah, I love Milwaukee as much as the next guy. Don't get me wrong, but we need a kind of a slogan like that. Maybe we'd have a little bit more favor with the national pundits.
Yeah, I wonder if the RNC's listening.
Yeah, there you go. That's can you
bring the elephants?
Right, right. It's bring ya and then
actually,
right on the elephant.
It would work better for the DNC.
Yeah. Yes, hey-o, it would.
Bring gas.
BringYaAss.com.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
.853 on Wisconsin's Morning News WTMJ forecast, sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. We're watching these showers and storms moving into southwest Wisconsin from Iowa. And they've been sitting there for a while. This does not seem to be moving very quickly, Adam.
No, those line of storms right now, right near, if you know, Iowa County, just east of Dubuque, Iowa, Grant County, they're just starting to trickle in right now. Lot more warnings if you go south into Illinois, and all of that is going to eventually get over here. Looks like we're watching along round one, kind of timing out about early afternoon, about 12:30, 1 o'clock this afternoon. That's going to be followed by another round later today. So this is kind of similar-ish to what we had on Tuesday. Round one earlier, then round two does not appear, at least now, at least it is that strong like we had on Tuesday. Not sure of any sort of tornadic development, obviously, but something we're definitely keeping a close eye on.
Storm Team 4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson saying some of the storms this evening could be strong to severe. Today's high 76 degrees. Let me take you through the holiday weekend. Mostly sunny on Saturday with a high of 72. If you have an option of which day to choose for your outdoor activities, that looks like the one, because Sunday we bring in showers and storms. Likely mostly cloudy and breezy, high 68. Monday's high also 68 with a chance of showers under mostly cloudy skies. We do have the Memorial Day weekend here and talk a lot about grilling out and summer travel and all those other things, but there's a reason that we have that holiday as well. A couple of events here I'll sweep through here pretty quickly. Today on the lakefront, and you may have already noticed the field of flags at Veterans Park, volunteers from the War Memorial Center have already placed 27,316 flags, each of them representing a Wisconsinite who died in service dating back to the Civil War. So there's an opening ceremony today for this at the War Memorial. That's at 11 o'clock this morning. Flags will remain through much of next week. The Southern Wisconsin Veterans Cemetery in Union Grove, that's where Grandma and Grandpa Vetrano are laid to rest. God rest their souls. They have their big service on Sunday. That is at 11 a.m. Milwaukee VA puts on its big event at Wood National Cemetery. That's a 9 a.m. start on Monday on Memorial Day. That's the cemetery you see off the freeway near the ballpark. American Legion Band plays, service flags posted, presentation of wreaths. I've attended this one as a reporter, Adam. It's a really nice ceremony. It's interesting. The public is welcome to this and all of these things that I've mentioned. They usually have flags marking each of the graves in the cemetery as well. That is Monday morning at Wood National Cemetery. TOSA is going to announce plans for a future veterans memorial at Hart Park. They have a service on Monday. That's 9 a.m. near the skate park in TOSA. And Wisconsin Memorial Park on Capitol Drive and Brookfield activities and ceremonies through the day on Monday, including a field of honor and a military memorabilia display. So all of those things open to the public. Just kind of scratch the surface there. A lot of other smaller communities will have their to do.
Yeah, if you need to know, you just ask around. You probably already know what's going on in your community. Annual traditions, of course. So we'll look to get up a full and complete list of everything at WTMJ.com here in just a little bit.
And as we close out the program for today, just want to remind you, our podcast is fairly robust. Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program, gets everything up online. And if you have not listened for the duration today, you missed, maybe, Debbie's story on what to do if you get pulled over by police.
Podcast. Good info.
How you can increase your chances of, you know, getting off with a warning.
Podcast.
You may have missed Rick Schlesinger for the Milwaukee Brewers, talking about how baseball is being more willing to look at rules changes.
Podcasted.
You missed Tausch talking about his trip to Peru.
Podcasted.
You missed, perhaps, the update on Ascension Hospitals. You hear from an Ascension nurse on what's going on behind the scenes as they continue to deal with this cyber attack.
Podcasted.
And then, what else? Is that a comprehensive
list? That's a great list, and it's still building. We still got the eight to come up, too.
Okay, so that's available anytime, anywhere where you get your podcasts at WTMJ.com or text Vince to 855-616-1620. I'll have Greg send you the link to our podcast page. Have a great holiday weekend. WTMJ's Steve Scafidi is up next with the Political Power Hour.
Podcast it!